Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
It's time now to visit with Dr. Jeffrey Copen from Northwestern Medicine's Lake Forest Hospital. This conversation is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Dr. Copen, welcome back.
Thanks, John. I understand you could use a house call maybe today.
You know, it's funny. I did something to my back. You know, just one day you bend over, pick up a toothbrush, or do the exercise you've done every day for a year, and then one day your back goes bad. And so my dad said to me, well, have you gone to see a doctor? And I says, Dad, if I call the doctor and say I hurt my back, they say, okay, we can get you in next July. and so there's no point of, if I go to the doctor, he'll say, what happened? I said, I'll hurt my back. He says, the doctor will say, there's a speed joke in here somewhere, but the doctor will say, you know, rest for 2 weeks, take some ibuprofen, you'll be okay. Which is exactly what I would do if I didn't go to the doctor. Doctor, your thoughts?
I couldn't have said it better myself.
I bet you could have.
Great advice, John. It's great advice. You know, the vast, vast majority of low back pain is going to get better on its own. It's the rare situation with low back pain where it persists, it continues. There's something about it that is concerning. Those are the folks that we need to see and we need to evaluate. But the run-of-the-mill mechanical low back pain, yeah, like what you're describing, yeah, you know, I bent over, I moved in a funny way, my back hurts, I got some muscle spasm, that's going to get better with, you know, with a few days, maybe a little longer, ibuprofen if a person can take it. You're right, and it's just going to get better. It's the other folks when it's a bad disc, you know, something else that's going on. Those are the people that we need to intervene with.
It's so strange, though, isn't it? Because I know I get older almost every day, but younger people I know have described similar scenarios. Mary, my boss, bent over to pick up her toothbrush, and somebody else bent over to pick up a toy from their child. All of these people in their, you know, 30s and 40s. And the same thing happened to them. My sister's back went out when she was in her late 20s or early 30s. What the hell, Doc? You think we'd be better built than that?
Yeah, well, you know, let's remember through evolutionary history what position we used to take, right? You know, this erect thing that we do, bipedal, walking around on two legs, that allows us to use our opposing thumbs, yeah, right? That led to our ability to tell speed jokes. Our back is a weak point, you know, and I think there's an important message here too, Jen, because it's like, how many times do we hear about somebody with a household incident that this bothers their back, right? Mary leaning over to pick up her toothbrush, or my kid's toy fell on the floor. I went and I leaned over to pick it up. It really, we got to be thinking about how do we bend over, right? Don't bend over from the waist unless you're really flexible. Bend your knees when you do it. You'll protect your back.
Yeah.
Flexibility is so important. People doing core exercises. You know, we always joke about that, core exercise for everything. You know what? It really works. And particularly, Jen, as we get older, and I agree with your diagnosis that most of us get a little bit older every day, we need to be doing things that will preserve our back. So that's flexibility exercises and core strength.
Says, hey, John Williams, I literally feel your pain. I'm 60. A few weeks ago, I tweaked my back looking at a traffic light wrong. Stretching, ibuprofen, heating pads, and the occasional cocktail will get me moving again eventually. Is it heat, cold? Is that the idea, doctor?
Yeah, some people find heat, cold to work really great, and you can try that. Other people prefer only heat. I even know people who do well with only cold.
Hmm.
So it's like what really works for you. And the hardest part is the patience, right, John? The patience to know it's going to take some time. It's just, I recently tweaked my back too. I twisted the wrong way. You know, it's like, and when I did it, it was like, ah! I know I shouldn't have done that, but I did it. It took 2 weeks. You know, it literally took 2 weeks until my back started to feel good again. It's just what happens. And I'm somebody, I really do follow my own advice. I'm really good about doing daily stretching, core exercises. You know, I'm tall, too. And, you know, taller people oftentimes have issues with their low back. When you think about it, the biomechanics of the way we move, you can understand that. So, you know, everybody, if you don't have kind of your own stretching program, core strengthening, there's great stuff you can find on YouTube, but besides the cat videos that will help you with your back, you should really think about doing that.
How tall are you?
6'4".
You don't sound 6'4" to me.
About 6'8", right?
Hey, by the way, just one other thing, since we're as we get up close and personal with Dr. Copeland, there's a story in the paper today that said that we should continue to teach kids cursive handwriting because that's good for motor function and parts of your brain that don't otherwise get stimulated or exercised. Doctors notoriously have bad handwriting. How good is your handwriting, doctor?
It's really bad. That's why I did so well in medical school. I used to say, John, before computers, that one of the first courses we took in medical school was bad handwriting. But now, how often, I don't know about you, but, you know, in my professional life, how often am I writing? You know, I do all my documentation when I see patients in the clinic and in the hospital on a keyboard. And by the way, I praise my high school typing teacher at Deerfield High School, and I am embarrassed to say, after all these years, I don't remember her name, and it drives me crazy, because she taught me how to type. I used it in college, and then I didn't use it again for over a decade, because, you know, there was no email yet. And then once we started to do email, and then I hit electronic health record, it was the classic, like, riding a bike. It came right back.
How about that?
You know, and I could touch type, and it's just been a gift for me to be able to do that. But, you know, this report, our brains are wired to allow us to do mechanical things, right? So cursive handwriting is a good example of that. Building things, you know, kids playing with Tinker Toys and Legos and all of that. That's so important for a developing brain. We want to have all those connections within the brain that will lead to greater sophistication, the ability to do higher level reasoning.
Yeah.
And all of that has to do with manipulation we do when we're little. I was with my 2-year-old grandson yesterday, John, and just watching him, how every single little thing, he wants to understand how to put it together and take it apart and does it do this and does it do that. That's that little brain of his learning. And it's fabulous to watch that. It's really thrilling.
Yeah, it really is. Dr. Jeffrey Copeland is the chief medical officer at Northwestern Medicine's Lake Forest Hospital. One of our listeners said, I'll bet that his typing teacher was Mrs. Hansen. Does that ring a bell?
Yes, thank you, listener. I've been racking my mind about that for a long time. It was Mrs. Hansen. That's great. Thank you.
By the way, a lot of folks are, I've got a little scratch in my throat. It's, you know how, like, the appliances in your house all seem to break down at the same time? I'm personally going through that right now. But if you have a little bit of a small cold, should you be masking? How contagious is the cold or the scratch?
Yeah, viruses that cause colds are contagious. That's how come we get it. And by the way, isn't it great, John, having this conversation on a day where it's sunny and 80 degrees?
Yeah, really. Is it 80 degrees where you are, doctor?
Yeah, it's 80 degrees in Lake Forest right now. It's amazing.
Wow. Any tips for us? What do you think about zinc? Zinc when you feel the onset of a cold?
I know there are people who swear by zinc. It's not going to make a difference. Those of you who use zinc and you swear by it, go ahead and keep using it. I don't recommend it. I don't believe it works. We really don't have it. It's been studied. We really don't have the data to show that it helps. But I know there are people who love it. Take it. And the masking question, John, if somebody has a cold, I think unless you're going to be around somebody who's immunosuppressed, you really don't have to mask. Unless, you know, if you're, when you blow your nose, you know, we've been trying to teach people, don't blow it in, don't blow into your hand, you know, like the crook of your elbow.
Right, right.
Something like that, you know, that's going to help. But if you are somebody who is immunocompromised or you're elderly with comorbidities and you go out and, you know, you're going to be in a place where there's a lot of people and it's confined, you, those are the kinds of people who really can, should think about wearing N95 mask, a well-fitting respirator. It will keep you from getting those viral infections. Or, you know, I think the rest of us, we know what we're up against.
By the way, speaking of drugs that people may take because they feel it's effective for them, we talked about this last week, but common decongestant ingredient, according to the FDA, does not work. Phenylephrine, which is found in Dayquil and Mucinex and Sudafed PE, they say it's been in there for a long time, but we can't prove its efficacy, which is surprising to me because I've taken Mucinex or Dayquil or NyQuil. I love me some NyQuil, doctor. Something's going on there. I don't know if it's quote-unquote working, but it seems to shore up my symptoms and help me sleep.
Yeah, so something you take that has Benadryl in it, John, at nighttime makes you drowsy and can dry you up. So you'll sleep better. That's why people like that. The phenylephrine and that stuff, we've known for a long time. It really isn't effective. I mean, to show you how far back this goes, I started medical school 43 years ago now, in 1980, you know, the ancient days. And I remember during our pharmacology class, one of the tasks we had was to go to the pharmacy and see all the cold remedies that were there and to realize there really was no scientific reason that any of these things should work. And there were no data to show that they would work. I know people swear by it. There's a great placebo effect, you know, for a lot of this. John, you and I, our generation, we grew up with all those NyQuil commercials and all the cold remedies. I mean, I still remember those back from the 1960s. So it kind of gets pounded into our heads. I'm interested that CVS chose to take these medicines off their
That's interesting,
their
isn't it? Yeah, because they're selling them. You'd think they'd be all for that. I'm looking at the clock, doctor. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, and I'm sorry that I spent so much time on me, but maybe that's been some benefit to other people as well.
And, John, it's always about you anyway, right? So it's okay. I'm happy to help with this. All right. You hope your back feels better. We'll check in next week.
It will. And that's Dr. Jeffrey Copen, the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine's Lake Forest Hospital.